Doing the right thing feels pretty good, doesn't it? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you again, Barry. As always, I'm happy to be here in the studio doing our best to disseminate the word, get some truth out there to try to counterbalance all the junk that's being disseminated on the airwaves elsewhere, doing our little tiny small part that we can do to try to bring truth back into the discussion.
Well, and it is a tiny part, but it's a part that I guess God has us here for such a time as this.
And let's hope that God continues to use us.
Well, we pray that's the case. Well, one of the things that I think God is using right now, Chuck, is the whole furor over the Chick-fil-A issue. We've been talking about this week, and today's the day, Charles. Today's Wednesday, August the 1st, and so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, if you're hearing our voices live on the radio, point your car in the direction of a Chick-fil-A and take your family out to dinner tonight. It's not on us, but you'll be glad you did. Point is, you can feel good about doing something right today. If you've already done so, you've had Chick-fil-A for lunch, hey, think about it for dinner. There was something else on that menu that you probably thought you'd like to have, but you just didn't order at lunchtime. Well, why are we saying this? Because Chick-fil-A is a Christian company that is coming under a massive amount of fire and attack from the homosexual rights movement and from the liberal media and their fellow hangers-on, Charles, in politics. Yes, they've made chicken sandwiches a political issue, Charles, and honestly, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Now, I get a good taste in my mouth when I eat Chick-fil-A, but this leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Not for Chick-fil-A, but for the fact that many commentators, including some conservatives among us, and we kind of touched on this a little bit yesterday, honestly just don't get it. They don't understand that if we believe in free markets and private enterprise and, well, as many of them call the capitalist system, that if the owner or chief executive of a company says, I believe in X, Y, or Z, well, that's their right to believe that, Charles. It's not a question of taking it to a poll or a popular vote to say whether or not that person's beliefs are allowable in our society. We can vote with our pocketbooks, and that's fine, and that's what the left's trying to do. They're trying to get everybody to boycott Chick-fil-A to vote with their pocketbooks, and so that's why the Christian community is saying, wait a minute, these are the things we believe in. Traditional marriage, family, biblical principles. Maybe it was time we voted for with our pocketbooks, too, because Charles, and I hate to say it, but I guess I sometimes agree with the old adage, all life is actually political in one way or the other.
And it's sad that it's come down to that, but that's a fact, Barry, because politics is at its core a religious activity.
Yes, it is.
And something that will make some people recoil in horror, and yet Jesus Christ was made king of everything. I've been handed all authority on heaven and in earth. Well, folks, that doesn't mean that politics is off in a corner all by itself and Jesus isn't king over it. It means that Jesus is king over it.
Yep. Well, Chuck, I want to use this definition when we talk about politics because I know we got some people listening that are probably gritting their teeth or getting ready to run screaming into the night that we're trying to politicize the church. Well, let me give you a definition of politics that Chuck uses when we teach our classes at Institute on the Constitution. This is the definition from the Noah Webster 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. Politics, a noun, the science of government, that part of ethics which consists in the regulation and government of a nation or state for the preservation of its safety, peace, and prosperity, comprehending the defense of its existence and rights against foreign control or conquest, the augmentation of its strength and resources, and the protection of its citizens and their rights, with the preservation and improvement of their morals. Politics as a science or an art is a subject of vast extent and importance. Folks, how many of you out there listening ever heard that politics was concerned with the preservation and improvement of the morals of the citizenry? Charles, I think that's a stunning piece of information to many people listening to us right now.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure it is, which is why you have to go to special companies to buy the 1828 dictionary. That's how much the American language has changed. And let me give you, for instance, of how true this is. You and I passed an article back and forth. I took Russian in college, so I'm not too good at my German. Kauft nicht bei Chick-fil-A, and it's by a guy named Michael Walsh. And this is the opening sentence, and he's keying off an article in the Associated Press. He says, how quickly does the left move from tolerance for one of its transgressive ideas to fascism? This fast. And then he quotes the article. All of a sudden, biting into a fried chicken sandwich has become a political statement. Chick-fil-A, the fast food chain known for putting faith ahead of profits by closing on Sundays, is standing firm in its opposition to gay marriage after touching off a furor earlier this month. Gay rights groups have called for a boycott. The Jim Henson Company pulled its Muppet toys from the kids' meals, and politicians in Boston and Chicago told the chain it is not welcome there.
Yeah, you're right about all those things, Chuck, but it's funny because when you do what we do and you dig into the news and you start looking at various things from different sources, you find out that sometimes there's a little bit more to the story than meets the eye. And one of the things here is that, number one, Dan Cathy didn't say anything that he opposed gay marriage, but he said that they stand for the biblical definition of the family. Now, if you want to say that's opposing gay marriage, you have a right to, because yes, that is inherent in saying you stand for the traditional definition of the family, is that anything that would weaken, attack, or try to, I like the word, transgress that definition would be considered, that you would probably say you're opposed to that. However, he never came out and said, oh, I stand against gay marriage. Well, first of all, there is no such thing as gay marriage. There's homosexuality, and there are civil circumstances that are trying to approximate marriage, but are never going to be marriage, because marriage is defined by God's word, not by man or by civil authority.
Okay, by definition, all counterfeits are inferior. The fact Absolutely. Is that God defined marriage, and any attempt to make something that looks like marriage isn't really, is by definition inferior and not worth anything. That's basically what Cathy was getting at without saying so. He really didn't need to say it. You're right. Once he affirmed the positive, there was no need to shoo the negative. It's in the statement.
No, that's true. Yeah,
that's where these guys are going to. They're claiming he was being negative. Well, in fact, he was being positive.
Well, that's right.
He was in reaffirming that there is, by definition, a thing called marriage. God defined it. It's one man, one woman for life. And anything else is a counterfeit and an attempt to make something that looks like that, that will not work and will eventually be detrimental to the society that adopts it. The fact is that what we've got going here is we've now got politicians jumping in, and I'll be quite honestly, Walsh in this article makes a charge that may seem harsh, but clearly when you look at it is not, because Walsh says, how quickly does the left move from tolerance, in quotes, meaning not really tolerant, for one of its transgressive ideas to fascism? So he's accusing people like the mayor of Boston,
Thomas Menino, who was the mayor of Boston, who basically said he was personally going to keep Dan Cathy out of his city and his company out of his city. But Menino has had a little change of heart. He's realized that he doesn't have the authority to ban a private business from his city without the risk of running some significant issues of federal discrimination laws.
Well, first of all, you and I both know the Department of Justice is not going to come out and fight in favor of Chick-fil-A, not the current administration.
Most likely not, but the point is that if you're the mayor of a major city and you're going out publicly saying, we don't want certain companies in our city, how soon is it going to be before other companies are going to say, well, maybe he doesn't like the way I think about things, so maybe he doesn't want my company here either. I think he had this huge PR issue on his hands, because every city is always courting businesses to come to their city and open up, because it means jobs, it means tax revenue, and it means your city is thriving. But if you got a mayor standing out there on the podium being, well, let's just put it bluntly, being an absolute idiot and saying, I don't want this company in my city. Okay, well, if the company is not a company that's doing something that's illegal, then you've got a serious problem on your hands and probably going to have a significant lack of credibility when you go to court other companies to come to your city.
Well, yes, that's true. And also, you do have civil remedies for those kinds of things, even if you can't get the criminal authorities, even though it is criminal. I mean, clearly, for instance, we have this Joe Moreno, who's an alderman in the first ward in Chicago last week, who basically said, you're not going to be able to get a license in my district. And since when do aldermen decide who gets a license and who doesn't in the city?
Well, I guess in Chicago, they've created a situation that I think it's called the Alderman's Preference, where a single rep can determine for his entire ward what goes and what doesn't go and what is going to be allowed or not allowed, and he has the ability to veto things that are coming into his ward. Well, honestly, Chuck, I think that's ripe for a lawsuit.
Oh, absolutely, Barry. And if the people of Chicago have sat still for that, they get what they deserve. They absolutely get what they deserve. And what they deserve is this Moreno character basically being a tin pot local dictator, because that's what they've got on their hands. That's what makes Walsh's charge absolutely true. This is fascism writ large. You play the game of whoever the tin pot dictator is, or you don't get to be in business. That's not the American system.
Nope.
The American system is, if you're in obedience to the laws, this is why the government, state, local, federal, should not be involved in these social issues that have nothing to do with the proper running of the government. This should be an issue where Chick-fil-A opens in Chicago. People don't like their stand on marriage. They don't eat there. Barry, there are businesses here in Ohio who have owners who are involved in gay marriage here that I don't eat at. And I encourage others not to eat there. It's a big company.
I'm going to bring the name up. I say don't do Donato's.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Donato's Pizza. Their founder and his sons and their family have donated massive amounts of money to gay rights causes because, well, his two sons are openly homosexual. But when you buy Donato's Pizza, you're helping to fund the folks who are attacking the marriage amendment in Ohio, who funded the campaign against it in part, and who are continuing to work in that arena. Chuck, I'm not going to be shy about it. Come and prove me wrong if you like Donato's.
It's a matter of fact. The Grote family gives huge amounts of money to the effort in Ohio to get gay marriage through and to oppose the marriage amendment in 2006.
Yes.
They gave huge amounts of money.
Actually, it's 2004.
2004, sorry. And they continue to oppose that. I think they're big donors to the human rights campaign and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Some of the profits that are going to Donato's Pizzas are going to fund the undermining of traditional families through support of gay rights causes.
Well, Barry, we're running short on time. We picked up a little treat that we found on YouTube. It's the Chick-fil-A song by Tim Hawkins.
We're going to play that, but just want to remind folks, today is a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And honestly, it should go all week long, ladies and gentlemen. And today, this program is on Wednesday, so hopefully you've gone and visited and patronized Chick-fil-A. If not, I hope you still go out there this evening and do that, or later this week, or even the rest of this month, because this issue is not going to go away, ladies and gentlemen. Just because we come out for a day or two isn't going to let the homosexual agenda of the left leave Dan Cathy and Chick-fil-A Company alone. They're still going to have trouble in cities like Boston and Chicago, and in other places where the city is more concerned about diversity and tolerance rather than in doing what's right.
Yep.
So, but we're going to leave you with this upbeat and fun thing, because it should feel good to do the right thing, and hopefully you're taking advantage of Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day.
But cool. I got time. You know what, y'all? I wrote a song for y'all. I got a surprise for you. I got tired. I'm just getting tired of singing the old one. So I want to sing you a new one, and I have just enough time to do it. So let's try. Can we play that track? Let's do it right.
If you lined up all the restaurants where I've eaten all my life, give me $5 and napkins, plastic fork, or plastic knife. Then you gave me the choice to pick where I'd eat today. That's a real easy decision, one that's not too tough to make. I would proudly go for some waffle fries and a jumbo sized sweet pea. And I won't forget the chickens who died, who gave their life for me. So I grab this sandwich, take a bite, put it back down on the tray. Yeah, there ain't no doubt I love this place. God bless you, Chick-fil-A. From the city of Atlanta to the hills of Tennessee, Louisiana, Texas, New Jersey, and D.C. Soon people up in New York and all over L.A. We'll be craving fudge nut brownies and the Diet Liberty. And I raise a toast with my milkshake to the man true with Kathy. And I won't forget the chicken she fried and gave that life for me. So I grab this sandwich, take a bite, put it back down on my tray. Though there ain't no doubt I love this place. God bless you, Chick-fil-A. Thank you very much.
And with that, we say join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.